This morning we will share some reflections on love. And as I hear the noise of the children as they're leaving, my first line doesn't even make sense anymore. It's sometimes I wonder where love has gone, and I think we see it right there, right? But what brought that line to my head was a headline that I read this week. And this was what it said. It said, U.S. official says it would be too traumatic to reunite all migrant children with their parents. Can you even fathom that? Separating children from their families and calling reuniting them too traumatic. That's where I was looking for the love, wondering where it had gone. It was earlier this week, and I was sitting in the darkened room in my home, ruminating on this. There was rain dripping down onto the window outside. And I was also reading that we are in a state of national emergency. And I wondered, where is the love? Is it gone from public consciousness? When did it happen? Was I sleeping? I felt like it was there once upon a time. Was I kidding myself then? Maybe. You know, I didn't live through the civil rights movement. I know people in this room did. I didn't live through Roe versus Wade. I know people here did. I didn't live through Stonewall. All before my time. I came into the world in a time when people knew, at least publicly knew, the right things to say. That it was about the children, no matter their color, class, or orientation. That human beings were born with certain rights to live and love. And so I always thought things were okay in a way, that we all knew, despite our differences, deep down that we were supposed to love each other. Some Christians in particular railed about this and that, but I thought, well, okay, they're misguided, but surely they know the heart of their religion is to love their neighbor. Even if their idea of love doesn't always gel with mine. But now I'm not sure that we've been on that same page about love. I looked out of the window earlier this week at the gray rain, so dismal and cold and yet so healing for drought-prone California. And I thought about that, dismal and healing at once. And maybe this is the place we are in right now. The dismal reality of the evils we face, the apathy, the anger, the fear. And yet this harsh reality offers us the opportunity to heal in its midst. Heal ourselves, heal others. But then the question is, how? I'd like to believe that with love, anything is possible. That maybe love isn't enough. Love changes everything. I do believe that. It alters our perception of whatever it touches, but it doesn't fix things. That's still up to us, what we do. And so the rain falls down, sometimes dismal realities of the world sets in, and yet there is healing possible if we remember the love of a child, the love for a child. Such a simple idea, almost cliche in its hallmark sentimentality, and yet I think we've forgotten. We were all children once wanting to know we were loved. All children now want to know they are loved. And even as we grow into adulthood, isn't that the secret we all hold deep down? The thing we don't say, but that drives our actions, that fuels what we say and do, that need to know that we are loved. Being loved is something we never outgrow. I've told you all a little bit about my Aunt Evelyn before. I think most of us have an Aunt Evelyn in our lives, a real character. My Aunt Evelyn had big hair, big heart, sparkling eyes, and a laugh that was ready and always a little too loud. She was sort of a Auntie Mame crossed with Dolly Parton. So for a while, my Aunt Evelyn worked in, of all places, the prison parole office in downtown Indianapolis. And those years Aunt Evelyn spent working downtown fueled endless stories of mishaps. There was the car she drove with the windshield wipers that you couldn't turn off. So you always knew she was coming, right? A perfect sunny day. Here comes Aunt Evelyn with those windshield wipers going full blast. What was left of the rubber blades scraping against the glass, making a painful noise. Her broadly smiling face waving to the businessmen in suits as she passed by. Or there was the story she told about the pies she baked, oh, so carefully, and tried to deliver to the mayor at a downtown event she was supposed to attend. And to hear her tell it, the pies were not delivered to the mayor, but on the mayor. Yes, she was a character, a big character who bit into life with gusto. And there she was, working the parole office at the reception desk. Of all places. And the parolees would come through, men, women, young, old. They'd nervously wait in the chairs opposite her desk for their scheduled appointment. And Aunt Evelyn would offer them some candy from the jar on her desk, and she'd ask them about their lives. And they would tell her their stories. So many of them never had a chance, Aunt Evelyn would say. And she'd tell us stories of people who had begun their lives being neglected or abused, people who had essentially lived without love, whose whole life stories seemed to be ones without love. Now, Aunt Evelyn had a list. And on that list, there were parolee names, people who were headed back to jail for one parole violation or another. And they were often violations they weren't even aware of. When they showed up at the office, the authorities were supposed to be alerted so they could come pick them up. And of course, Aunt Evelyn complied, sometimes reluctantly, but she'd make the call that the wanted person was there, but she'd keep talking to them. She'd hear their stories of the love they hadn't gotten somewhere along the way, the love they'd never found, the love that had been missing from their lives that had led them to where they were. And Aunt Evelyn, well aware that any second the authorities would be picking this person up, would sometimes do everything she could to let them know they might want to leave while they could. She'd look at the door and then look back at them and then look at the door again. She'd widen her eyes, whip her head toward the window, and then look back at them with raised eyebrows. Everything she could do to say, you better get out while you can, without actually saying it. So I don't know that anyone ever got the message and got out while they could. Maybe it was just a fantasy of Aunt Evelyn's that if they got out, they could find something better to do with their lives. But the fact is, she tried. She tried because of love. I know that now. Thinking back to all those funny stories we'd laugh at so heartily at family gatherings. But behind those stories, there was always a love of humanity. That in the lives of people where hope seemed impossible, Aunt Evelyn could always find a reason for hope. She always found a reason to believe that people who'd gotten a lot of bad luck could still find love. Love isn't always candy hearts and roses. Love can look like a parole office and a couple of ordinary people reminding one another what it means to be human, to care for one another. I agree, Washington. We are in a state of national emergency. 6 people died in a mass shooting in Chicago on Friday. A national emergency. And what happens at our borders is an emergency. The children who have been separated from their parents, the people looking for safety, a better life. A national emergency. We do have a national emergency, a crisis within our hearts. Somewhere we lost our way. Lately, I have trouble even talking to some family members. Our moral centers seem to be on different planets. And I'm not alone. I speak to others with the same issues. There has been a line drawn, and we have all decided which side of that line we are on. And a line, a wall, between us is a national emergency indeed. So what do we do in emergencies? Sometimes we run around doing whatever we can without much thought, but hoping something will stick, be the thing that fixes the problem. That never works. But if we can breathe when a crisis comes, if we can take a breath, we might remember who we are. We might reconnect with what we are at our core. Historically, Unitarians thought we each had a piece of the divine at our center, a little piece of God. Historically, Universalists thought we had an immortal soul, eternally worthy of love by divinity. Nowadays, some of us might call that place at our center love. And that's one of the things that distinguishes us as human beings, a willingness to grapple with the concept of love, the ability to consciously show it, to act from a place of love. How do we love right now? How do we offer something that's healing, something that brings wholeness to a state of emergency? How do we make others feel our love? Sometimes people ask me why I think the Universalist side of our faith tradition is so important. After all, from the Unitarian side, we get rationalism and intellectualism. We get so many of the founding values of this country that have infused U.S. democratic processes, that gave life to social justice, that fueled the fight for equality of marginalized people. Universalists were intertwined in the fabric of all of this, but never had the organizational power or influence in the same way Unitarians did. So aren't we really just Unitarians? Wouldn't it be better just to leave the Universalist part off of it so we sounded less complicated and, frankly, less weird? The answer to those questions is, of course, rooted in love. Because even though the love is implied in Unitarianism, it is Universalism that brought it to the forefront. Universalism that said that God would never damn humans to an eternal hell. Universalism that said we are all worthy of love. There is a reason that universalism was so popular during that time of people carrying its message on horseback from town to town. You are loved is a message people needed to hear then indeed. And now, look at some of the leaders we have in power now. I believe you will see the effects of not enough love or the right kind of love. And I'm not being coy or glib when I say this, though I am being a bit of an armchair psychologist. But personality disorders develop often when a child doesn't get enough or the right kind of love. When the ego then has to overcompensate to protect the fragile feelings of that child. The child grows up believing he can never be wrong or else he is without value. People who suffer in this way are dangerous. And so much of the bad behavior we see in the world is about love. The lack of love received, the love not given that was needed. The world stage is filled with messed up people, where the love that should have saved them and us got lost somewhere along the way. But universalism said that we are all worthy of being loved, but even more than that, it said we were loved already. Many of us, but certainly not all in this room by any means, often take God out of the equation today. So how can we be loved just for being if there isn't a God to love us? Does it then take other people to love us? And I thought a lot about this. And I think the answer for each of us to be healthiest is no. Though this requires a leap of faith that I recognize not all of us will choose to take. But I believe you are loved simply because you exist. That creation itself loves you. That your existence on this planet is proof that you are loved. And I'm defining love by saying that the fact that you breathe, that you exist, that you are here, is evidence that you have been loved into being by the process of life itself. I'm not saying there is necessarily a force out there with a moral conscience who will whisper, "I love you," to you. I'm saying the fact that the elements of life have coalesced in such a way as to allow you to be here, that is a form of love. Congratulations, you have beaten the odds. You are living proof that you have value. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You are loved. And maybe, so this is how my mind works, maybe you are love too. Because only you have the capacity to know you are loved and to love others. Others can tell you that you are loved, but you have to believe it. You have to know it within yourself. You have to believe that the gift of life you have been given is evidence of a kind of love, divine or otherwise, that allows you to be here. Even if nature is wholly indifferent to your existence, you are nonetheless here. A true miracle of intersecting time, space, and biological fortuosity. You have been loved into being. Love is not about what someone does to you or for you or even how they feel about you. Love is about who you are and what you know about yourself. And when you can feel that, when you are connected to that, love then asks you to share that message with others. And goodness knows, it's what the world needs now.